Well, I'm sure like all of us, we woke up this morning and I was thankful. My kids let me sleep till 7:45, so that was my Christmas gift. And I'm sure some of you, hallelujah. And I know it was very easy this morning just to be at home and just to stay in the pajamas and hang out. At the very first moment of worship, didn't you realize why you were here this morning? Hallelujah. At the very first moment of worship, we often forget that our calling and the beauty of our faith is that we are different. And how different it is on a Christmas morning to be here together worshiping the Lord. And doesn't that feel holy this morning? Isn't it set apart and different from even what in our own natural goodness we're inclined to do this morning? But because we've sacrificed, and what did David say when he was going to build a tabernacle that was designed for his praise? But I will not give to the Lord what costs me nothing. And it kind of cost us something this morning outside of the Sunday ritual to be here. But because it cost us something, the moment we begin to enter in this morning, wasn't there just a beautiful presence? A beautiful presence. Literally, the moment we began singing this morning, I was like, oh, I think this is the church. I think I'm just in the church this morning. I mean, I'm in a church this morning. But I think as I heard that worship this morning, I realized I was with the church this morning. So thank you for that beautiful expression. It is beautiful thing to understand what it is to adore him. And then how refreshing it is to be with other people who want to adore him this morning. For as much as we have enjoyed singing and loving him, wasn't it such a blessing to begin to hear all the other voices lifted up this morning? Didn't it just refresh your heart? Because we're getting a little taste of heaven this morning. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do this morning, because every time God comes and is with us, there should be a sense of fresh and new beginning. And we're just going to take 1 or 2 minutes to think about that this morning, a fresh beginning. And let's remember, it comes because it costs us something. And so we want to develop, and we'll really tie this in at the end. We really want to remember that it's not we have to, but we what? We get to. And we need to remember that in our faith, though there are seasons of long endurance, and though there are seasons of perseverance and just doing the right thing because I'm just walking in faith, that really what we want to do is we want to enter into this new year, and we're really going to take this Christmas to New Year, and we're just going to enjoy family. We're going to have to work some and do a few things, but there's a sense of preparation because he has come. And Mary and Joseph, he came and they celebrated, but then there was this big question. What do we do with him? Like, now that he's here, how does this work? And so this morning, we're just going to remember that there are some things that come as sacrifice to a newborn life, but they're not have-tos. They're get-tos. We get to do this. We get to offer something, and I want you to think about this morning, we get to offer something that will cost us something. And we forget so often that it is in what costs us something that we are, here it is, the most refreshed. But don't you and I often think, when we're so tired and we're so weary, don't you and I often think of the last thing I want to do is to do something more that costs me? Because isn't the whole mentality, I want to stop doing something that's, I'm tired and I'm weary and I've been giving a lot and I don't want to give anymore? And yet, isn't the truth of our faith that it's in that moment that when we give just one more thing, not because we have to, but because we what? We get to, that we can become refreshed. I want to encourage, no matter what stage of your faith you're in, some of us, we've been in it for a long time. Some of us, it's new. Some of us, maybe a college student or a young adult or maybe a teenager, you're in this time. I've done it for a little bit, and I'm figuring out the rest of the world. And I just want you to recognize that what happens in that stage is we need to figure out what fresh thing we're giving God. Because if we don't give him something fresh, we'll start to think like the world. Like, yeah, I don't know if this is real or not. It's like, no, what's not real is there's no real sacrifice. And because there's no real sacrifice, there's no real experience of the Spirit. And so what you and I want to do is we want to give something fresh, because this morning we remember what? God gave something beautifully. He sacrificed. It cost him everything, and yet is what refreshes all of us. And ultimately and eternally, it's what refreshes the Father, because he gave. It refreshes him, because now he is with us and we are with him again. We all are familiar with this story. I think there are a few ways I'm more familiar with this story than possibly many of you. First of all, many of you know, my daughter Rachel was born on Christmas Day. Happy birthday, Rachel. Yay, Rachel. We literally did the finished Christmas Eve service. I went back to our house, and my wife was in labor. So we did the whole nighttime labor thing. Thankfully, we didn't have to use a donkey to get to the hospital. But we went through the night, and then 9:55, 20 years ago today, my daughter Rachel was born. So thankful for that as a dad. And usually Rachel gets no attention on Christmas because she shares with Jesus. But today the whole congregation is thinking about you, Rachel. So happy birthday. And another way this morning, it's kind of especially meaningful to me, because I think of Pastor Travis this morning. And although we don't know exactly what Christmas is and after September 17th will look like with the new church, I think of one of my sons in the faith that I love so dearly and think, you know, this Christmas time next year, I don't know if we'll be worshiping together in the same building. And I'm familiar with the truth that the Bible says that you love someone's a people so much you send your best. And I think we're loving South Richmond so well that we're sending our best in Pastor Travis and Brittany. And and it's costing us something, right? It's costing us something, because we'd be more blessed if he was right here in the sense of our own personal enjoyment and growth. And yet, to love the world so much to just say, here's our son of our church, and we want to make sure that the world gets what they need. And so I'm familiar with what this Christmas means in some ways of that Christmas story that I think sometimes we forget. I think, too, of just recognizing the faithfulness of God. I think one of our elders, Dick Coffin, here today, just had a tough surgery and is back in. And my family took your seat this morning, Dick. I don't know what we were doing. But just how beautiful it is to be here again and to sing, "Let Us Adore Him." He is faithful. And even as we were beginning and singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him," there was Dick, tears, because he knows what it is to adore the one who's been faithful to him. You know, we often in this time, we forget what it is to have God with us. Many of you in this room, there have been trying times with doctors and unresolved medical issues. There's the place of hope that you're still waiting for hope in families. And so many testimonies this year about God's faithfulness and provision when it seemed like there was no provision to be had. We have new moments to come as I see a few engaged people in the room, right? Ms. Clara, Ms. Huck's there, going to be engaged. And it's Heather and Jordan in the back. And those exciting moments as we celebrate. We also celebrate new life. And we've had several. Now, if you hadn't realized it, snow time for us in central Pennsylvania is when? It's the last week of January and the first week of February is usually the, if we're going to get snowed out like at church or something like that. And about 9 months after that, we tend to have a lot of babies for some reason. Just saying. Oh, Central Virginia. Sorry. My bad. Sarah's family's from Central Pennsylvania. And we have one of the newest ones at all, little Daniel James, 6 weeks old. Dick, your new hip is about as old as his hip, too. It's right about the same. You're about the same. You're 6 weeks. Here's little Daniel. Daniel James. And the Bible tells us that this is God's answer to a world in need. This small and precious. Randy, I don't know if you could put on the scriptures for me. My hands are a little full right now. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us in a way that seems almost helpless, a way that almost seems, how can this change everything? And yet this child does. And I'm mindful on this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we need a little? There we go. Is that better? Sorry, buddy. I'm a little out of practice. It's been a while. Mindful that as the attention that has to be given to a little one like this, isn't it just the brilliance and the mystery of God that he would come and say, I'm coming not to judge you, but I'm coming to be with you. In the Old Testament, to be in the presence of God was a frightening and life-threatening thing. For Abraham, he was a smoking furnace. For Isaiah, he would see him and say, woe is me. Moses wasn't allowed to see the presence of God. And yet here comes God, this accessible, this touchable, this gentle, almost seeming this helpless. And yet has God come this way so that we can learn how to adore him? I want to encourage you that the Christmas story of a newborn baby is not just that God comes to be with us, but it's how we welcome him in. Because, I don't know, moms and dads, you remember this phase? You remember what it took? You remember? You know, remember when you got all your degrees and diplomas and got your money and thought you were in charge of your life? And then you had one of these little precious kids and you realized, I'm not the boss of anything? You remember that? Yeah, you don't choose when you sleep. They choose when you sleep. Oh, you've got plans to be at church? Yeah, no, I don't think so. Yeah, that's all the newborn parents, you know, with all the newborns, they're like, I'm sorry, I was going to be at church. I was like, you don't need to explain. Your schedule is not your own for about a year. When they say you can go, you can go. When they say you're allowed out of the house, then you're allowed out of the house. That's it. And there's something about God who is endless and infinite being this small, this beginning. Isn't it just beautiful? And it teaches us something about what it is to adore him. Because religiously, we should do this, this, and that. And then God chooses to come in this form and say, this is how you welcome me in. I'm not looking for your religious works. I'm looking for what I've built in you to do. You've just kind of lost touch with what it is. So if you could give me the next slide, Randy. Christmas teaches us how to welcome Jesus into our lives. And then give me the next one, please. And I think you got a three click for me. We welcome Jesus with an all-consuming focus, unconditional action, and an uncompromising now. Isn't that what you have to do to take care of this little one? All-consuming focus. That's it. Doesn't matter what else is around or what's cooking in the oven or when your job starts or who else, when this baby needs you. All-consuming focus. This baby gets all the focus. And I wonder this year, as we're getting ready to turn in a year, and the Lord's really spoke to me about new victory beginning, I wonder what it is to say, what's stealing my focus? Is my focus consumed on welcoming and adoring the God who gives me life? That idea of unconditional action, remember before you're a parent, there are things you would never do, and then you are a parent, and you're like, I guess I'm doing that, right? I remember the time, not to be a little on the crude side, but I remember one time Rachel was under one, and we were out, I think we were at a bagel shop, and she decided to return the food she had eaten, you know? And I just stuck out my hand to catch it, and I'm like, why did I do that? And I'm like, I guess I'm a parent. We do that now. Oh, let me grab that for you. Because when that life is in your hands, there's no condition on what you will do to take care of them. And sometimes we've got to say, are there some things that have become conditional in my life with Jesus? Are there some things that I've kind of, you know, I've put some conditions to how much I'm going to take care of him and what I'll be willing to do for him? And one of the questions we're going to ask ourselves is there a good intention in my life that needs to turn into a good action? I'm talking about it, but I haven't done it. No action, just intention. And then this last one, uncompromising now. Yeah, when Daniel needs to be pat on the back, it's now that needs to happen. When he's hungry, it's now. It's not later, it's now. And so many times we have a bunch of wins, like when I will do that, I'm going to do that when. And that when needs to turn to what? Now. Because you can't take care of a newborn with a when this happens, I'll take care of him. And isn't there something, just a mystery about the incarnation where God says, not only am I coming to you, but I'm teaching you how to be with me. I'm teaching you how to welcome me in. Because to take care of this child is to take care of my presence in your life. And so I think as we celebrate this week and then we get into New Year's and we're going to do our regular 9-11 next week, I think there's a real calling that God wants a new victory. That's going to be our theme next month. New victory begins. And it really is with new life. Every time this wonderful life is in my life in a new way, I have new victory. I always do. And as we do that, I think it's a good thing this week to be asking some questions. And if you could put those up for me, Randy. As new victory begins in 2017, number one, what is stealing my focus on Jesus? Let Christmas remind me what it is that this presence is what I want to take care of the most. And then number two, which good intentions need to turn into actions in my life? There's some things we've talked about, some things we've said, you know, that would be good to do that once I get past this stage of my career, or once I'm done with school, or after this semester, or once I'm done with this team, or when this thing at the house finally stops, or, and then, you know, I don't think you take care of a newborn that way. I think whenever it's time, that intention has to turn into action. It's got to be unconditional. And then number three, how can I turn when into now? What does it look like to turn when into now? I was asking these questions myself this past week. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do, which the Lord did for me, I'm very grateful, is he gave me Psalm 16 as my verses, my chapter for this next year. So as I was reading through Psalms, I just felt like the Lord said, you know, this is my word to you. And it was a lot about God counseling me at night. It was about he's going to be good, he's going to be faithful, about in his presence is fullness of joy. And so I begin to think about those verses, and I'd encourage you to be reading through the Psalms this week. And as I was reading, I felt like the Lord, I started asking myself this question, Lord, what's stealing my focus? And the Lord gave me a few things like, Sean, this is good, but this is not what I need you to do in this season. And so there are a few things on my list. I'm going to go and make some changes this year and especially make sure my life's not too cluttered. And then I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, so I've got a few good intentions in there. And the Lord began to show me a few actions about even just some of my nighttime habits and how I finish off the day with the Lord. And then it's like, well, I think it just needs to happen now. And so I literally started thinking, how's my schedule going to look? I want to encourage you. Remember, we started this whole message with the idea that if it doesn't cost you something, it doesn't refresh you. And so I want you to think through these questions. And I want you to do it because you need to or have to. I want you to do it because you get to. God wants you to do it because you get to. And in that, we can endure more. I want to encourage you. This beautiful Christmas is a gift to us about what it is to welcome and to keep the presence of God in our lives. I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to come forward. And did everybody know Pastor Brandon's birthday was yesterday? Happy birthday, Pastor Brandon. So Pastor Brandon had to work on his birthday. And then work on Jesus' birthday. What? Yeah, every year. Every year he gets to do that. He doesn't get that sliding holiday with Thanksgiving. It's always the 24th and 25th. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon if he would finish us up in just some worship. And I want to encourage you this morning. It really has been a fresh gift to be together today. And so I want to encourage you in this next moment when we come back into worship to think about that idea of focus, action, now. Fan, F-A-N. Focus, action, now. And let's give something fresh to God this new year as we just adore him. So would you take a moment and stand with me and let's just worship the Lord and welcome him in.